Welcome to Inside Track. Santa Aurelia LLC is solely responsible for its content and pays for it. The views and opinions expressed on Inside Track are those of the host and guests and not necessarily endorsed by KVOI or its advertisers, but they should be. And now here's Bruce Ash.
Hello, insiders, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be. This is your host, Bruce Ash, along with co-host
Ebb Wilkinson,
welcoming you to a special Night of the Living Dead pre-election edition of Inside Track. What a week. ACB confirmed, sworn in at work at the Supreme Court. The polls are tightening. Vice President Pence in Tucson yesterday, 33% increase in GDP reported in the third quarter. The noose tightening on Joe Biden over his corruption. Mark Kelly tried to jail his ex-wife after their divorce. Oh my God. More African Americans, more Latinos, more Jews, and first-time voters will vote to re-elect President Trump. It's going to be messy, and we may not know the final results for some time. But if you vote, or if you've already voted, you will let freedom continue to ring as we remain the shining city on the hill. We have 3 days until Election Day. Here's my question to all of our Inside Track listeners. When your kids or grandsons ask, what did you do during the great election of 2020? Will you be able to tell them? Will you take pride in defending the Constitution and our American way of life the day we reelected the president of the forgotten Americans? Or will you have to apologize for losing the republic? This is a call to action. Vote and bring all your family and friends to the polls this Tuesday. Hey, we have a great pre-election show for you today, starting off the show, and he's on the line waiting for us, is frequent guest and friend of the show, opinion writer George Bardmesser, talking about sleepy Joe Biden. And after the first break, we'll start hearing from candidates during our pre-election candidate wingdinger until about 1:40. Then we'll hear from RNC co-chair Tommy Hicks. So listen up. We have another jam-packed show for you today on Inside Track. Many thanks to our great supporters of Inside Track, Gary Imus. Don't tell Gary I messed that up. Gary
Not a
Imus
word.
And Inside Track partner Ebb Wilkinson at Imus Wilkinson Asset Management. Gary and Jamie Kipper from Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus, and the kids from Corazon Cabinets, Joy, Allie, and David. I do business with all of them. You should too. Okay, we have American greatness opinion writer George Bardmesser on the line. George has been writing about the life and times of sleepy Joe Biden for the last couple of years in America Greatness and the Federalist. George, are you there?
Good afternoon. I'm here. Good afternoon.
Happy Halloween. How did sleepy Joe Biden, Night of the Living Dead zombie campaign, do this week?
Well, you know, there are so many reasons to vote against the Biden campaign or no campaign. I could write a book. I mean, I'm getting almost tired of writing articles about him because there's so many targets of opportunity, you know, so many stupid things he says and does. So
it's, oh my
just,
God.
Like if I had to do a bullet point presentation, it would probably take about maybe 20 slides, and that's just for the bullet points.
Yeah.
Like all the reasons not to vote for him. Like here's the next one you might not have heard of. His daughter's diary was published. Okay. He's got a daughter. She's like around 40 or so. He's got a daughter, and it turns out that Joe Biden liked to take showers with her when she was little.
Oh, God.
Okay? Really. So him and her were taking showers together. And she asked rhetorically, you know, might that be sexual abuse? You know, yeah, it might be. Remember those, on the same topic, remember those videos of Joe Biden giving his granddaughter, who was 18, like a big gobsmacking French kiss on the mouth? Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Sadly, we do.
Yeah. I mean, remember, it's surreal almost. I mean, remember all the videos of Biden, fondling and sniffing pubescent girls? I mean, this is a guy who wants to be president. I mean, imagine if this was Trump. I mean, now just think for a second. You know, there's Ivanka publishes a diary where Trump is, taking showers with her. I mean, can you imagine what the press would do? It would be unreal. Here, nobody says a word. Unbelievable.
George, one of my best friends from the RNC is actually Joe Biden's next door neighbor. And you know what she sees him doing every so often, don't you?
What?
Swimming in the nude.
Oh, yeah, in front of Secret Service agents.
Unbelievable.
I'm sure every day, every morning, they say to each other, gosh, I just can't wait until Joe Biden goes nude and goes swimming in that pool. I mean, this is the dream job of a lifetime. I mean, the man is barely sentient, you know? I mean, yeah, he was hopped up on drugs, obviously, during the debate.
Yeah.
Right? But they can only do it for like an hour or two at most. You can't do it continuously. So he goes on these, event campaign rallies, you know? he stands in empty parking lots and screams at cars. Like, there's like five cars there. So he stands there and screams at them. Or he goes to an empty field, like Gettysburg, okay? He had an event a couple weeks ago at Gettysburg.
With the crop circles.
No, there were no circles because there was nobody there. It was
right.
Empty field. I mean, if there's circles, that means there's at least like five or six people. But it's just unreal, you know, like a big event for Biden, like 20 people, that's big. I mean, more than that, unbelievable. But, I mean, just watch a video of one of his speeches. It is painful. You know, he babbles semi-coherently.
Right.
You know, he forgets simple words. He gets lost. With like even a five-word sentence is too long for him. You know, he has to stop and pause.
Hey,
and
I know that feeling every so often, but I'm not running for president of the United States.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Exactly.
Well, it
exactly.
Almost sounds as though he's losing his breath and he has to wait and catch up again.
Yeah, you know, that 3 a.m. phone call that presidents, you know, mythically get.
Right.
You know, in Biden's case, you'll just get a busy signal because Biden checked out a long time ago.
He caps the campaign at 10 o'clock, so why not take calls at 3:30 in the morning?
Yeah, really. You know, but I want to say something serious. In case there's libertarians listening to this show, okay, I mean, I know there's not that many of them out there, maybe like 1%, 2%, you know, people vote libertarian. But in case there are libertarians, you know, out there, you know, this is one election when you simply cannot afford to throw away your vote. I mean, vote with your head for once, you know, not with your heart. Because if Biden and the left get their hands on power, I mean, believe me, it is all over. Okay, there will not be a do-over in 2024. I mean, this is it. You know, and we see some of it already. You know, even before they get there, you know, there's you already see, you know, people losing jobs for expressing their opinions. You know, censorship,
right.
Doxing, you know,
right.
Riots,
right.
Violence, and discrimination against religion. All of that is happening now, before they even get there. It's already happening.
Hmm.
You know, socialism killed 100 million people in the 20th century. I mean, it killed 100 times more people than coronavirus ever will.
Right.
All right? So, you know, socialists will not stop. I mean, they want power, and they will not stop. Okay, and they have no guardrails, no constraints. So if you're a libertarian, okay, I mean, I understand, you know, you want to vote for, you know, this Jorgensen person, whoever she is, do not throw away your vote, okay? Because if Trump loses, it's all over. There will never be anything libertarian about any of this.
George, you're right. I mean, there's really no reason to vote for the libertarians. Their major campaign issue was pot, and pot's been legalized in a whole bunch of states. So, I mean, really, why waste your vote with the libertarian? And I'm tired of hearing the word existential threat. Well, there is an existential threat to libertarians. There won't be any kind of a need for a libertarian party if these guys get elected. I mean, they're going to be wiped out of existence.
There will not be a libertarian party. I mean, there will only be one party. Okay, when socialists come to power, there is only one party. I mean, it's happened everywhere, you know. Socialists, when they come to power, whether it's Cuba, whether it's Venezuela, whatever country,
New York City.
Well, they never invent anything new, all right? They nationalize industry. You know, they redistribute poverty instead of redistributing prosperity. You know, they redistribute poverty. They build concentration camps. They build re-education camps. I mean, this is socialism, okay? It's not this picture book, you know, fairy tale that, you know, college students like to think about. So this is reality. This is, sadly, I mean, I never would have guessed, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago that the United States could come to this. But we, you know, we're on a precipice. We really are.
So
if you're a libertarian, you know, I beg you, you know, think before you pull that lever or fill that bubble, you know, on the ballot. for Jorgensen, whoever he or she is. I have no idea
who
this person is, frankly. You know, just think. I mean, do not throw away your vote. Do not let your enemies, you know, get to power.
So George, also kind of, you know, on the serious side, you have written that the Sleepy Joe campaign resembles the front porch campaign of James Garfield in the 1880 election. But, and that's sort of funny thinking about it, but is he hiding because he's frail, or is he in the basement because he wants to stay away from inquiring reporters, assuming there's one or two of them left, who want to ask him about corruption and his collusion with foreign powers? I mean, seriously, is it frailty or is it afraidness?
Both. I mean, he hides because he's physically not capable of doing the job of campaigning. I mean, for him, I mean, remember in September, 50% of the days in September, 50%, Biden was missing in action.
Yeah.
Literally, nobody knew where he was. Well, he was in his house, but nobody knew what he was doing there. I mean, he was literally hiding in his subterranean assisted living facility or whatever he's got down there, okay? 50% of the time, okay? So Biden is not physically or mentally really capable of campaigning, and that, we know that. Now, as far as the latest allegations, I mean, on the one hand, it's not anything we didn't know about Biden, right? I mean, we've always known he was corrupt. We've always known he was sleazy. You know, we've always known that, you know, he's making money off of, you know, off his official position. And the way politicians, you know, take bribes these days, I mean, nobody sits in their office and waits for, like, a, you know, an envelope stuffed with cash. That's not right. How it's done. Nowadays, it turns out that a lot of politicians have, you know, wives and sons and daughters and nephews and in-laws and sons-in-law and this and that. And they're all amazingly talented when it comes to business, you know, amazingly enough. And usually it's the kind of business that has a significant government component. You know, oddly enough, like, for example, Joe Biden's brothers. I mean, they're all very much involved in various government contracting and what have you. Now, does anybody really believe that anybody would hire them for anything?
Not a chance.
Their last name was not Biden. So as far as Hunter Biden is concerned, this is evidence of things that we knew long ago. Okay? Now, is the press asking questions? Nope. Nobody's interested. I mean, there's $5 million flowing this way. There's millions flowing that way. There's $3 million from Moscow. You know, there's millions from Ukraine. Everywhere where Biden went, somehow his son is raking in millions and giving his dad a 50% cut, according to the emails. Okay? Is the press interested? I mean, we have a free press, right? I mean, their job is to ask questions, right? You would think. Well, is anybody interested? I mean, a few reporters here and there, but they get fired once they ask the question. Okay? So nobody's interested.
George, a big question before we let you go for the day. Does the president win re-election, or is Sleepy Joe the president? And what will your reaction be as an opinion writer either way?
Well, I think that Trump will win. I honestly do. I think a lot of the polls that we see from the usual suspects like CNN, Washington Post, I mean, these are the people, they're masquerading as journalists, okay? But they're not journalists. Their job is to get Biden to win. Okay, that's their job, and making sure that Biden wins. So a lot of the polls that you see, if you dig into the internals, they're really fishy. So I'm thinking Trump wins. Like, I'm in Florida right now. The early voting lead that Democrats had has completely collapsed here. Right? I mean, they need about maybe 500,000 votes to be competitive going into election day. A 500,000 edge in votes. I mean, they're down to below 100,000. In other words, they completely collapsed here. From what I understand, in Arizona, you know, their lead kind of evaporated. So I think things are coming together for Trump. We don't know how big a victory it's going to be, but I think things are coming together. Okay, Trump is, you know, it's better to be lucky than to be good. Trump is lucky. I mean, Democrats picked the one guy who cannot possibly go the distance. Okay, back when they had their clown bus of, you know, however many, 25, candidates, you know, one or two of them were reasonable, okay? They weren't all complete morons. You know, so, but they picked the one guy, you know, the one guy who is really cannot do it. Okay, so even with the press carrying all the water for him, even with every advantage imaginable, even with $500 million in the bank from Wall Street and Hollywood, they picked the one guy who can't do it.
Well, George, we're gonna have to wrap it there for today. We're gonna have you back on in mid late November to talk about the election after it's all over. We have to make room for some advertisers, so thanks for joining us. And hey, insiders, look for George Bardmesser in American Greatness and the Federalist. He writes there quite often, and I think you really enjoy reading George. I enjoy listening to him. He makes me laugh and makes me think at the same time. Hey. Time for us to go to a break. You're listening to Inside Track. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Customers come first at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus.
A lot of the cities and the counties around have initiatives for artists. I think we're one of the premier artist suppliers for steel. First Saturday of every month, you can come down early and actually go through the scrapyard across the street. It's 7 acres of metal. You can walk through with our people and pick out what you want. It's always interesting to see what the artists have done. We've done actually a couple projects with the U of A engineering department and music department, where the engineering music students came down together. They had to pick something out of the scrap, and they had to build an instrument. And we have one of those in front of the plant. Some really cool things come out of the scrap.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Wouldn't it be great if political leaders could create that country again? Learn how to do exactly that, one family at a time, with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, imuswilkinson.com, 777-1911, 777-1911.
Welcome back to Inside Track. Jesus, I thought we were never going to get done with the commercials, for crying out loud. Mark Napier, are you with us?
I am, Bruce, and how are you?
Oh, thank God.
I thought those commercials would never end.
It's
Mark,
painful.
One minute, I got Steve Spain in back here, Eric Sloan in back here, and Tiffany Shedd and Brandon Martin probably pissed off that they haven't been able to get an open line. Tell Pima County why they need to reelect Mark Napier.
If we don't want to be Portland, we don't want to be Seattle, we don't want to be Atlanta, we don't want to be Minneapolis, you have to have a law-abiding sheriff. A sheriff that is willing to uphold the law, understands their constitutional oath, and has made his lifetime doing exactly that. I'm that guy, and I would love to be the sheriff for another 4 years. You can learn more about me on my website, SheriffNapier2020.org. That's SheriffNapier2020.org. We cannot go back to the corruption, the cronyism, the mismanagement of the prior administration. We do not need nanos. We need to keep moving forward. And that's my one-minute elevator speech, my friends. I wish you a very good afternoon. I'll let you get to the other candidates. Thank
All
you.
Right. Thank you, Sheriff.
Thanks.
Re-elect Mark Napier. We got Steve Spain from Pima Supervisor 1.
Steve, are you there?
Steve Spain, are you there, buddy?
I am.
All right, can Steve. It's election palooza. 1 minute. Why do we elect Steve Spain to represent voters in Supervisor District 1?
Well, it's simple. If we actually want some positive change and we want to break the status quo in Pima County, that status quo that doesn't fix our roads, that doesn't attract opportunities, that doesn't attract jobs, if we want to change that, I am your candidate. I am the guy who will stand up to Chuck Huckleberry, not be a rubber stamp for him. I am the guy who wants better for all of us, who's got the right plan to fix the roads without jacking up taxes. I'm the right guy, not the other guy who absolutely does not have a plan, who absolutely is supported by Chuck's closest friends and some of the biggest cronies in town. I'm the right guy for this job.
Steve, how do people find out about you and all your issues?
VoteSteveSpain.com. It's Spain just like the country. The website's easy. VoteSteveSpain.com.
elect this guy. He is a real go-getter. We need somebody who is going to watch this county administrator and the Democrats on the supervisor. Steve Spain, thanks very much. Best of luck on Tuesday. We'll talk to you Tuesday night. Who do we got next up, Tom?
Eric.
We got Eric Sloan. Eric Sloan's running for Arizona Corporation Commission. Eric, thanks for calling in. How's your campaign going? And tell us, what are you going to do when you're elected to the Corporation Commission?
Well, the campaign's going terrific. I was the top vote-getter in the primary. I'm looking forward to being the top vote-getter in the general. Our campaign is very simple. It's about lowering utility rates. It's about getting people consumer protection against utility companies that are out of control. It's about getting a fair deal for every Arizonan. And what we've seen out of the commission in the last couple of years has been not good, not good at all. So one reason I decided to run was because I don't want our utility rates to go up, especially now that we've been through this global pandemic. We've all been in a time of testing. Now we're in a time of choosing. And so I'm asking people on November 3rd, go to the polls and vote Eric Sloan for the Corporation Commission, because as a father, a husband, a small business owner, and a proud Arizonan, I'm going to represent you on the Corporation Commission at lower rates.
Eric, thanks for calling in. Best of luck. Vote for Sloan, vote for Marquez Peterson, and vote for O'Connor. That's our team. The other team is the Bad Green team. Thanks very much, Eric. Next on the line, as a line clears, another is open. Next on the line, we're going to have Vince Leach from LD11, one of the leaders in the Arizona State Senate. Vince, great to hear you on the phone here. Tell our listeners why they need to reelect Vince Leach to the Arizona State Senate.
Hey, Bruce, thanks. This is Vince Leach, and great to see you yesterday at the
You bet. Event.
Hey, listen, when I came in 6 years ago, I was elected in 2014, started serving in 15. We had a $1 billion deficit. We took that to being in the black. We have $1 billion in our rainy day fund. This year, with the COVID hitting, we were scheduled to have a $1 billion surplus with lower regulations, lower taxes, and all the things that businesses are coming here for. Obviously, COVID-19 put us in a difficult position, but we reacted as you would from a conservative side. We put together what is called a skinny budget, and now we look to finish up. We're still finishing up the books for 2020. And it looks like we're going to come out well in the black because we responded to a bad situation and took care of it immediately. I am pro-life, law and order. You won't see me cutting any budgets for law and order. School choice, huge on my agenda. Border security, I've been a border security guy ever since I've been elected. Pro-Second Amendment, don't mess with my guns. And a constitutional conservative, and have been chosen by many organizations as a champion of the taxpayer. And you can get a hold of me at VinceLeach.com. Very simple, VinceLeach.com.
Vince, thanks very much. Vote. Great having you call in today. Best of luck. Need to vote for Vince Leach. This is a leader in the Arizona State Senate. Karen Fan, the governor, they rely upon Vince for his expertise. We're going to take a quick commercial break for our bottom of the hour break, which we're a little late for. When we come back, Steve Christie,
Leah Marquez Peterson,
and as Vince drops, another line will open. Hopefully Tiffany or Brandon will call in. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. I'm proud to welcome my good friends at Tucson Iron and Metal Retail to Inside Track as an advertiser. Jamie Kipper and her staff are conservation experts. They sell round and square steel tubing, metal plate and roofing materials, as well as new and used steel, aluminum, and stainless steel to ranchers, artists, interior designers, roofers, and do-it-yourselfers, just like all of the listeners here. Tucson Iron and Metal Retail is open Monday through Fridays, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 a.m. to noon. Tucson Iron and Steel Retail, 701 East 36th Street. Call 520-209-1576 or go to TucsonIronRetail.com. And when you do call, mention this ad and receive an additional 10% discount on their already great prices.
I'm Eb Wilkinson with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. I don't ever want you to be dependent on government ever again. I want you to become financially independent. You will never, ever have to depend on socialist security for your survival. We are here to guide you to financial independence. That's imuswilkinson.com, 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
We're back on Inside Track. We got Steve Christie on the line, Leah Marquez Peterson waiting, and Tiffany Shedd right in back of her. Steve Christie running for re-election in Supervisor District 4. Steve, tell our listeners why they should re-elect you.
Well, good afternoon, Bruce. Thanks for having me on. The three main reasons that I need to be re-elected are to continue pursuing the three most important things that I think this county is being faced with. First and foremost, we have to keep a focus on repairing our roads. In my district, I was able to get 70 miles of roads repaired and completely rehabilitated. It's not enough. There's a lot more that needs to be done, and that's why I need to be reelected to keep the focus and the priority on fixing our roads. Number two, I have been the most resolute and outspoken supporter of law enforcement, our law enforcement community, and Sheriff Napier. You just ask Sheriff Napier, who his best partner on the Board of Supervisors is, and he will tell you unqualified.
Yes, sir.
That Steve Christie. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Mark loves you.
That Steve Christie has been a true partner to law enforcement. There is absolutely no reason, no justification why this county has refused three times Stone Garden grants that they've accepted willingly over the last 12 years. I need to be back there on the board to support our law enforcement community and help Sheriff Napier in continuing to protect the citizens of Pima County. And third, I, as a businessman, know fully well what businesses go through. No other person on the Board of Supervisors has a business or a business experience like I do. I will continue to be an advocate and champion for our small businesses, for our small business community, particularly the restaurant and health club industry. They have been devastated by the draconian policies inflicted upon them by the Board of Supervisors. I have been the most outspoken critic of our COVID-19 response and the enforcement policies of the Department of Health. I need to be there to continue pursuing and protecting the interests of our business community. And one main reason I need to be reelected, Bruce, is that my opponent, Sanctuary City's Steve Diamond, will inflict his personal radical agenda on the people of Pima County, such as he tried to do with the Sanctuary City movement. He has been an outspoken proponent of stopping Stone Garden funds, has made it clear that he wants nothing to do with law enforcement. He wants open borders. He is a real threat to the safety of the citizens of Pima County and to our way of life as we know it.
Steve, we're going to leave it right there. Vote for Steve Christie, Supervisor District 4. He's a good man. Return him to office. Steve, thanks very much. And next joining us is a candidate, actually for re-election, Leah Marquez Peterson, the Arizona Corporation Commission. We heard from Eric Sloan before. Leah, you've been doing great work at the CorpCom. Tell us why you need to go back to the Arizona Corporation Commission.
Well, thank you, Bruce. It's an honor to be on your show this afternoon. It has been such an honor to be appointed to the commission, and I'm running to retain my seat. My priority since being appointed has been the affordability of utility rates. Very proud of my record to provide over $40 million in rebates to APS and TEP customers during the pandemic, and also protecting Arizonans from disconnections during this pandemic. I am the only commissioner now and the only candidate from outside Maricopa County, and it's vitally important that Southern Arizona has a voice on the commission. I've also been fighting the corruption at the commission. Very proud that one of my first votes was for the first code of ethics at the commission. So really would appreciate everybody supporting me, voting for me, and helping me retain my seat for a four-year term on the Corporation Commission.
That's great. You're doing a hell of a job, Leah, and we appreciate having you here from Southern Arizona. You have an active office here in Tucson, and you're available for folks. So keep up the great work.
Absolutely.
Vote for Marquez Peterson, vote for Sloan, vote for O'Connor. Thanks, Leah. As one phone drops, the next one comes on. Tiffany Shedd running for Congress in CD1. Tiffany, how are you?
We're doing great. We're traveling all over the district and actually in the car headed from Gila County to Pinal County, and we'll be in Pima County this evening.
And tell the listeners why they need to vote for you in CD1.
Well, I'm a small business owner, and we really need to make sure our economy and jobs get back on track. I've lived in the district most of my life and went to U of A, was a bilingual kindergarten teacher. And CD1 has a lot of diversity, a lot of unique challenges. And I look forward to partnering with people to make sure that we're bringing rural broadband, that we're keeping taxes low, that we're reducing regulations and evening the playing field so that the folks in Arizona 1 can have, you know, an economic recovery and prosperity like we've never seen before.
Tiffany, you know about natural resources. You're involved in the legal affairs on that point. But most importantly, you're a farmer. You're a rancher. You live in the district. You're not just some guy that showed up there and switched parties three times. You really are all over the district. You have a close relationship within the Native American community. They've embraced your campaign as well. Tell listeners how they can get in contact with you and help you before this election's over.
You can go to shedforcongress.com, shedforcongress.com. And I think it's about time we have a rural Arizonan, actually an Arizonan, representing Arizona instead of a congressman who votes 97% with Nancy Pelosi. I don't know about you, Bruce, but I don't think she makes a very good congresswoman for Arizona 1.
That's right. All right. Thanks for joining us today, Tiffany. Best of luck to you on Tuesday. Our next guest waiting on the line is a leader from LD 14. That's at LD, that legislative district south and east of Tucson. David Gowan, how are you? How's your election going? Why should people return you to the Arizona legislature?
I'm doing fine, Bruce. Thanks for having us on here. It's been pretty interesting listening. Reason why, there's two Republicans from the southern region. That would be Vince Leach from District 11 and me from District 14. And the greatest thing with that is I am the chairman of appropriations. He's the vice chairman. That gives us a lot of strength for our southern region. We need to get back up there and make sure we have our watchdogs there. And that's why you need to put us back in.
David, you're a leader. I'm waiting for Tommy Hicks to call in. David, you're a leader in the legislature. Tell us the things that are your priority when you get back into session back in now up in January.
Well, certainly my district and the southern region are my priorities in the state of Arizona. So you got 1, 2, and 3, right, like that. As appropriations chairman, I have the privilege to be put the budget together for our state, especially on the Senate side. And you put us back up there, we're going to make sure that we have a balanced budget and that we put together the things necessary to make this economy continue to roll. Right now, out of 50 states, we have the fourth strongest economy. That's because of all of us out here that's listening. I mean, our economy is strong because of this president, because of what we've been able to do in this state with deregulation and restructuring of taxes for our businesses so they can hire people. We are strong. We had a $2 billion hole when COVID hit. We are now $90 million in the surplus. That's how strong we are.
David, you're a veteran in the legislature. This is your second time around. Thanks very much for joining us. Best of luck on Tuesday. You are a great member, a real leader for Southern Arizona. Thanks for joining us today. David, we're going to go right now to Brandon Martin, who's running for Congress in CD2. Brandon's been trying to get in, calling for about the last 10 or 12 minutes or so. Brandon, thanks for joining us today.
Bruce, thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Hey, the vice president was here in town yesterday. He made special comment about you and supporting you. The president supports you. The vice president supports you. Tell us why you need to go to Congress.
Well, right now, we are at the most important election of our lifetime. We are staring down one option, which is lawlessness and chaos and the destruction of the American way of life. or we're looking at the future and prosperity and success and opportunity like we've never seen before. We're going to rebuild the world's greatest economy. We're going to hold China accountable, and we're going to make sure that we are winning for CD2, that we are winning for the American people, and that we are going to support our president to make America great again.
Hey, I think our listeners would be very interested in a guy who supports you and really wants you to be elected to the U.S. House, and that is Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. I understand he's here this weekend supporting you. Ted's a great man, and for him to support you really does mean a lot about the character of the man that you are and the type of representation you'll give to CD2 in Congress, doesn't it?
Well, I tell you, Bruce, I am just so honored and humbled to have the support of everyone out there. And Ted Cruz is an amazing senator, and he is touring around right now with another great senator, Senator Martha McSally. And we are going to make sure that we hold on to the Senate. And I'm just so grateful for all the support out there. I'm just leaving an event that we had at Tay's Barbecue, an amazing event right here in Corona to Tucson in the heart of the district. And we had a lot of people out there supporting us, and it's just an honor to represent them and go forward and help keep this country the greatest country in the world.
Brandon, best of luck to you on the 2nd. I vote for you. I've supported you. I think you're going to be a great member of the Congress. Thanks for calling. Best of luck this Tuesday. And as Brandon leaves us, one of the big kahunas in the Republican Party, my former boss, or one of my former bosses, Tommy Hicks from Texas. Tommy, thanks for joining us today on Inside Track.
Oh, and by the way, Brandon's a great guy. He's a great candidate. He's working really hard, and I got goosebumps by just listening to him. We're really excited about this. We are going to win this thing, and it's because of the hard work of all the people on the ground, the candidates, the president. The president is unbelievable. Just think about what he's done. Starting, I guess he's got 14 rallies between now and Election Day.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, the energy he has is just amazing as opposed to the other guy.
Yeah, he doesn't have any. And he would be a weak president, so we have to win this thing. If we didn't, it would be unthinkable. And if we win this thing, which I think we will, big, we're going to make sure that the 21st century is the American century, not the Chinese century.
Hey, Tommy, head-to-head, the president attracts many thousands for each of his rallies, and Sleepy Joe and Kamala attract dozens. Intensity seems to be with the president. How does intensity relate to the polls? Because they look just like 2016 when the president was behind then, but, you know, he had the intensity thing going there. There's, I think, even greater intensity today. Would you agree?
We've never seen anything like this, and I've been on this Team Trump bus tour for probably the past 6 weeks, and what we're seeing all over the country, and specifically in Arizona, was something that I've never seen before in my life. But people are coming out. People are showing up by the hundreds to support the president and the Republican Party because they understand what's at stake. They understand, just like Brandon was saying, that we can have another 4 years of prosperity, freedom, law and order, or on the other hand, we could have chaos and socialism. And Joe Biden has no control over what his comrades in the Democrat Party are.
They are his comrades.
Push through.
Yeah,
they are his comrades with a
comrade.
Capital K.
Absolutely.
Tommy, Arizona appears to be shaping up well for the president. He and Mike Pence have been here several times, but we also need to elect Martha McSally back to the U.S. Senate, Brandon Martin, as we talked about. Tiffany Shedd is also an amazing candidate in Congressional District 1, running against a fabulous do-nothing, Tom O'Halloran, and a young man, a Marine, Daniel Wood, who's running for Congress against Raul Grijalva. What do you think our chances look like in Tiffany Shedd's election and Brandon's, as well as Daniel Wood?
I feel really good about everything in Arizona, and there's no path to the White House without Arizona, and we have to hold on to the Senate. We have to win back the House. We have some incredible candidates, and Martha McSally, I was so proud of her when I was with her on the bus tour. She did such a great job. She is an American hero.
She is. And you know, she—I mean, not just because she got up and flew an airplane and under enemy fire, but because of the things that she's done, the rules that she's broken, the achievements that she had before any other female. She was an Air Force Academy graduate. She was the first fighter pilot in the United States Air Force, and then was the first female ever to lead a fighting squadron in the Air Force. I mean, the things that she's done for supporting the president, for supporting freedom in this country, they've been amazing. And her latest vote, maybe one of the biggest votes of her Senate career so far, voting for Justice Amy Coney Barrett. Tommy, your view on the appointment of Amy Coney Barrett to the U.S. Supreme Court?
Well, the appointment and the confirmation. And Amy is somebody that we want our daughters to look up to.
Yeah.
I've got three young girls. She is somebody I want them to look up to. But Senator McSally has done such a great job. I want my girls to look up to her as well. But if you think about it, she went, the most humbling thing about this whole movement that we have right now is you have people who have already served our country who are willing to serve again, like Senator McSally. She understands what's at stake. She understands how broken Washington is. She wants to go serve to fix it. Washington, D.C. works for the American people. It is not the other way around.
Yeah, that's right. And I was at the inauguration in 2017. I sat 22 rows in back of where the president spoke. I was practically at the 50-yard line. And there were hundreds of thousands of people there. When he looked down at us from the podium, Tommy, and he talked about the forgotten American, I felt as though he was talking to me and like he was talking to everybody there personally. It's an amazing, the accomplishments over these past 3 years. He says it well. I mean, he says, he's accomplished more in 47 months than the other guy did in 47 years. It's actually been about 44 or 45 months.
Yeah.
But I mean, all of the things that he's accomplished, I mean, we need to give us a chance, the country a chance to completely rebound from the virus and to continue the great role that we play in our world and here in this country. Don't you think that we've got that intensity going?
Well, he was talking to all of the American people.
Yep.
And he's been fighting hard for all of the American people. And you guys know this, but 67 Democrats who are members of Congress did not show up for that inauguration. The Democrat Party has turned their backs on the American people while the president's been fighting for all of us. And I think that's exactly why we're going to make a huge red wave take place on Tuesday, and CNN's going to have to call it early.
African-American, Latino votes will be higher for the president in this election, maybe greater than any time in the last 30 years, is my prediction. What do you think about my prediction on African-American and Latino voters?
I think it's a slam dunk. And by the way, again, this president has been out there fighting for all Americans, every single one of us. So that's why he's going to win in such a dramatic victory. And by the way, it's been amazing to have this change agent as president open up the Republican Party.
Yeah,
he's
the greatest disruptor, political disruptor in our nation, maybe in the last 120 years or so. But you're right, Tommy. He has opened this party up to so many people who had stayed away for years, hasn't he?
Well, yes, and our country really needed this. We had no idea how bad we were until this president was elected, and we have exposed how awful the swamp truly is. I live here right now. This place is awful. They thought they controlled the country. The country is controlled by the American people.
Hey, Tommy, Eb here. Everybody's saying that it's going to be a while before we know who wins the election. You're saying that's not true. You're saying we're going to know that night, and they're going to call it early.
The numbers look really encouraging. We have to make sure we get our people out to vote on Election Day. Typically, Republicans like to vote on Election Day in person, but we are making huge strides right now. And I think the Democrats made a bad mistake in encouraging the absentee voting because their people aren't showing up.
That's right.
And we have to make sure that all of our people show up and vote for the president and Republicans all the way down the ballot.
Hey, Tommy, we're up against the clock. We need to wrap the show up. Insiders, that's going to be it today for Inside Track before Tuesday's election. I'll be appearing on Billy Buckmaster's show at noon on Monday. Wake Up Tucson also Monday morning between 7 and 8. Then on election night on KVY's election night coverage with Chris and Joe from Wake Up Tucson. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Until next week, when we'll break down the victorious election results. This is your host, Bruce Ash.
And Deb Wilkinson.
Asking you to be sure to vote on Election Day, Tuesday, November 3rd. Good afternoon from Inside Track.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Wouldn't it be great if political leaders could create that country again? Learn how to do exactly that, one family at a time, with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. Call me, Eb Wilkinson. IMUSWilkinson.com. 777-1911. 777-1911.
Customers come first at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus.
What other kind of customers do you have?
So our biggest customers are actually like ranchers and people from outside of the Tucson area. They're buying a lot of square tubing. They're buying a lot of stuff for their ranch to close off fences.
We'll sell anything from 10 feet to 10,000 feet to somebody that comes in because we have new steel and surplus steel from steel mills. The reason we're able to get such good pricing on some of this stuff is, A, we sell scrap to the mill. So we have a relationship there, and then we can buy material, what they're making, bringing it back. And so we save on freight, and we have relationships for years with them. So I think that's really our niche market. We'll sell whatever you need.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.